I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You may already know that the Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you a free audiobook of your choosing when you sign up for a free 1 month trial at audible.co.uk/footballramble. So if you want Why England Lose by Simon Cooper and Stefan Szymanski, I Partridge by Alan Partridge, or The Football Men, Up Close with the Giants of the Modern Game by Simon Cooper, then sign up at audible.co.uk/footballramble or choose from a range of about 60,000 other titles. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook, which is yours to keep, whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Go to audible.co.uk/footballramble and sign up now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. We are back from the wonderful city of Kiev to luscious London, and it's quarter-final time, nearly. But before we get on to that, I should say that my name's Marcus, and I've got three beauts with me. Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
Howdy.
Luke.
All right.
All right. Now then, gents, England are through. Handsomely.
Yes.
Textbook, draw the first game against the hardest team, win the next two, 7 points, pop bang, lovely.
Undefeated.
Yeah, exactly what we wanted.
A clean sheet in the final game.
Smashing.
Is that all we can say about it?
It wasn't a classic performance, was it?
Wasn't it just?
Wasn't it just not a classic performance, yeah.
It was the England of old, wasn't it?
Rooney was back in body. Yeah. But not quite with touch.
I think a lot was made of the fact that he was coming back and how hungry he was. But the fact is, he hasn't played a lot of football, and it showed quite badly, actually.
Yeah.
His goal was unmissable, and that you shouldn't let that paper over the cracks. He had a couple of other chances he should have taken.
The header in the first half. I mean,
yeah,
he scuffed it with his head.
He'd have smashed that, wouldn't he? He scored goals like that for Man United this season.
The encouraging thing from that chance was that Ashley Young delivered the type of ball that he does for Manchester United.
Yeah, that's true. It was, I suppose, a little improvement in that instance. But generally, the team were far more disjointed than we've seen them at the tournament. They were happy to sort of let Ukraine have possession, it seemed. There were points they were just standing off on, almost like a training drill. And, you know, we were talking, you know, before about them maybe being a bit more conservative like they were against France. Fair enough. But it was just way too far the other end. There was no cohesion. The passing was abysmal.
Yeah, the passing was poor. I think Ashley Young, I mean, I know he's operating within the system, so I mean, you could argue when he plays on that wing, he's going to be playing a little bit more within himself to keep the shape of the system back. But a lot of the time, he got found out in the fullback position a bit too much for me as well. Against players who were, admittedly, the guy on the right hand side for Ukraine played well, but against better teams, as we keep saying, you're going to be worried about that. And I think that really Ukraine knew they needed to win, so England should have had a great chance to practice that sort of solid, resolute banks of four that they've sort of tried to build their foundation on. But it didn't really work. I thought Yarmolenko really found that gap between defence and midfield very well, and it was difficult for England to pick him up, actually.
Which is strange, isn't it? Because England, you know, we were positive about their performance against France, where they looked very good like that. As Sweden, it was one of those crazy games, and we came out on top, which was showed a bit of character to come back from 2-1 down. But this one's probably the most worrying game of the three. Pete,
yeah, this is.
Well, if you saw Germany perform like that, you'd be like, "Well, they know how to win," and you know,
it's just
one of those things. I think we're not the most exciting football team England fans have ever seen. And I think that's almost refreshing, you know.
I mean, you do make a good point there. And going back to what we said earlier, you know, we play better than that against better teams. So it is in there. The ability to sort of step up to your opponent is clearly there with England.
I think the biggest concern is something you touched on, Jim, which is that when they had the ball, they didn't use it at all well.
No.
And if you don't use the ball at all well, then you invite pressure onto yourself and make it harder for yourself. And Ukraine, look, I think actually a lot was made of how poor England were, when you should give Ukraine credit, because They fought very hard. They worked extremely hard, actually. And there was a home game for them, and it was expected to be expected they would be good, and they were good. And I don't think a lot of it was made that England weren't very good, but it was actually a lot of it was Ukraine were decent.
They
fashioned chances, they harried and hassled, they had a lion's share position, they had more shots, more corners, all that sort of stuff.
A lot of their shots are outside the box, though. I think that's what we're forgetting.
That's the hallmark of the system England would have played, though, right? Inviting them on. And I just think against, I'm not saying I'd have preferred to play Spain in the quarterfinal, because I wouldn't, but against Spain you sort of know what you're going to get. Against Italy, they've changed formation throughout the tournament. They've flicked back to a sort of 4-4-2 diamond against Ireland when they'd played three at the back before. It's hard to know what you're going to get with them, and that may find it hard. Do you not think, Marcus, if they came on to us, we'd be a lot better?
True, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about the quarterfinals in a minute. We've got to talk about a few things. The disallowed goal, one of them. It was offside.
It was. It's strange how it was mentioned on Match of the Day, but I've not really seen it in many newspapers and things. It's all about the controversy over goal line technology. I think people want to use it to beat that drum with, really. But it shouldn't have counted. He was clearly offside in the build up to it.
If it had been given a goal, England would have massively moved.
Exactly. We would have been just apoplectic.
Special credit for John Terry, because although everyone said it was his mistake in the first place, getting caught under the ball, it was absolutely rubbish. He played the offside trap perfectly. And he still managed to get back, even with his lack of pace, and almost clear it off the replay show. It was slightly behind the line, but it wasn't clear as day. It wasn't like Lampard against Germany.
He did enough to confuse the officials and not give it.
He did well, did Terry. I mean, it was a shame, though, that England, because of that disallowed goal, it takes the gloss, if there was any gloss off the performance going through. But I think Steven Gerrard certainly performed well, and that was one of the positives England could take.
He's been England's best player.
He really has, hasn't he? He's really sort of continued the last couple of games of Liverpool. He's sort of taken that into the tournament. I think it was a few too many sort of lofted balls up to the strikers when, you know, Rooney's not the biggest player in the world, although he can hold a ball up, and as we said before, he was completely off the pace. Is it not indicative of how we're going to play in the future? That he brings off, he doesn't bring off Rooney to bring on Carroll, which I thought, was that him just trying to give Rooney a little bit more time on the pitch?
Possibly.
I think it's also that just Rooney is effective in that hole. He can be a provider as well as a goal scorer.
I would
agree with Hodgson and keeping Rooney.
Welbeck looked knackered as well.
Welbeck worked very hard. England were a lot better in the second half. I thought Welbeck was good.
What you've got two types of sort of tiredness, really. You've got the tiredness of Rooney not playing matches, and you've got the tiredness of Welbeck playing too many matches. So it depends. And Rooney probably, as you said, Rooney probably needs the game time more. I mean, it's reasonable to suggest that he will improve against Italy, because he's got 90 minutes under his belt, and he's not done that for a long time. If you go back to the last time he's played a genuinely really competitive tournament match for England, it'd be years ago, and he was dreadful then, so he's got a score to settle as
And again, we're bringing on attacking players. We're not just sort of going, right, we've got the 1-0, let's shut up. We brought on Walcott.
I quite like the idea of playing those sort of more conservative players. I mean, Young's not that conservative, but he's got a lot more diligence about him. And then you switch it out and put sort of pressing, flying wingers on our.
And England actually probably should have had a second. They found themselves in good positions.
Was that when Rooney was like 1-on-1 effectively, but he just slowed up?
He just didn't have the pace. Well, that was because Ukraine had obviously come out to attack a bit more. But England found themselves a couple of times, and again, I think Oxlade-Chamberlain had the ball.
He divvied.
And I just thought, you're 18. You've got pace. Yeah. Smash it past that defender and belt.
Yeah.
And there's no way, even if it was in the first minute of the game, but certainly not in the 87th minute or whatever it was, that defender is going to be able to keep up with you. And
you
Hodgson
think
really needs to say that to him, because that's the difference, perhaps, between going through and not.
The bottom line is
that not bad practice, though, to tell a young player to do that, to just rely on his pace that much?
Not really.
The last 10 minutes have effectively a knockout.
That would have got him through it and on goal.
Yeah, it's not doing it every time. If he's got a chance to get on goal, the fact of the matter is, at top level football, you don't get that fast defenders. You get fast fullbacks. And you get some players who are deceptively fast for defenders, like Distan, or to use English examples, like someone like William Gallas, who played in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Quite fast. Because the fact of the matter is, when you develop players, the fastest ones go out wide, or go out front. So you're always going to get strikers or players who are faster than defenders. Take advantage of that, especially as you've said, Marcus, when he's been playing 80 minutes at defender anyway, he's not the best defender in the tournament or anything. Bang it past him. I'm not saying you should do it all the time, but you should definitely do it in that position.
You do get the feeling that if he'd had the chance to do that against someone like Sweden, where their defenders are noticeably quite slow, you'd think that would give him a little bit more confidence to do that. But maybe, you know, he just thought there's a lot at stake with this match, really. They needed the draw, and perhaps he just wasn't sure about losing the ball.
Very true indeed. Andrei Shevchenko has announced his retirement from international football. 48 goals in 111 appearances for Ukraine.
It'll be gutted that they went out, but it's great that they had that first game. Those moments where he did the business.
It was almost a shame for them that it was the first game, because like we said, when they came into the France game, their heads were perhaps already into the second round, and so the bitter disappointment of losing to England and they're out. But the coach took it well, didn't he, Luke?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's class.
Blocking.
He's a class act, isn't he?
What did he do to the journalist?
I can't remember the exact sort of context of the question, but I asked him something about he didn't like very much, and he said, "Why don't we step outside then?" And the guy was like, "Well,
yeah." He basically asked him if it was his fault, wasn't he? That if he should shoulder any blame for their exit, and he said, "I think it was you should respect that I've played football. You should respect my ability. Maybe we should come out and I'll rip your throat out."
it's one of the most legendary Ukrainian players, ever. Yeah. He does with their respect, but when he comes out with stupid, bigoted sound bites and comes across as defensive. Well, I understand that he feels hard done by because of the decision that they didn't get, which again, I imagine he probably doesn't know it was offside, or he didn't know at the time. So I understand his frustration. But he seemed to be quite genuine with Hodgson after the game. They shook hands and had a little hug, and it seemed like he was wishing him all the best. So on that level, he was okay. But I think that was a classless thing to do, actually.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about England Italy then. I mean, I'm happier that England are playing Italy, because I think Spain would murder England. I really do. Mm. I mean, we can see how England give the ball away so much.
Yeah, we just never get it.
I mean,
back.
Spain would probably have at least 70%.
It's got to the point with Spain where I didn't watch the Spain Croatia game live because we were watching the Italy Ireland game. Yeah. But I was told by a couple of people that Spain weren't that good and Modric was decent. 72% possession they had. is that what it's come down to? 72% possession is not very good. Mind you, England probably did better without the ball.
Yeah, that's true. But England, Italy, Jim.
Yeah, I've said this earlier. I'm just putting this out here early. I can see Mario Balotelli getting sent off in that game, and England still not winning. I think that'll be the big
Do you think he'll start?
Big missed opportunity thing. I think against England he will. Yeah, because Balotelli will have so much to prove against the country. Country.
Is that the guy who won the league with Man City?
Yeah. No, but I mean. He gets a lot of stick, doesn't he? Yeah. So he'll want to. He want to be there. He want to make the most of this opportunity.
His celebration if he scored would be absolutely postal. He almost got himself blooming in trouble with the coach when he scored against Ireland. Balzaretti had to put his hand over his mouth.
But he was still going even with a hand over his mouth.
No, yeah.
But if he was that furious, would he have gone for English? Because it was explained that I didn't know what he was shouting in English. But it's like, would he have gone for English as his first sort of explosion of you fucking.
It was directed at the coach, wasn't it,
for not starting him.
Yeah. But England Italy is an intriguing match, because it's not a classic Italy team. Chiellini's injured, so I mean that's a huge loss for them.
Yeah,
I mean,
mind you, we could do with someone out defending they did against Croatia. The ball. But no, he's a good player. Yeah.
I just think England do have a chance there. You know,
do have a chance, and I think.
But the way they've been playing and in the tournament, I don't know.
You cast your minds back to previous tournaments where England have coughed and spluttered their way to semi-finals and Euro 96 and World Cup 90. I hate to go on about these things, but it is true. In England,
it's true. There is a huge pattern of coughing and spluttering going on here.
Well, exactly,
and it just turning out all right.
Yeah,
and will the counter attack work against a back three if they are going to go with a back three at least? So it's kind of like that, that. I'd quite like to see us really sort of go for pace, because they're undermanned at the back.
I don't think they will go for a back three against us. I think they'll maybe more. They'll line up more against they did against Ireland with like a 4-4-2 kind of with
sort
a diamond. Dominant.
There's a lot of intriguing battles. One of them was what you just touched on was Balotelli. He'll be facing off against Lescott, who plays with every week.
Yeah. Lescott's had a few hairy moments, hasn't he?
Yeah,
particularly
I think he was
Sweden.
Decent.
I think
made a few.
I have to say, I think John Terry's been very good.
Yeah, of course he has.
He's been outstanding.
Well, and he's justified his selection.
Absolutely right.
But the big battle for me is. Pirlo, I mean, if England are as bad in possession, Pirlo will have a field day.
Yeah,
he will run the show, the whole show.
Yeah,
and but Rooney can do that job. Rooney actually was one of the very few Manchester United players who played well in the Champions League final against Barcelona. They lost 3-1, but he did a good job on Busquets.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
I know you say, well, Barcelona still had a lot of it, but actually that the Rooney did quite well there, so he can do that.
There's pluses and negatives about that. That's true. Busquets, they play in a similar sort of position on the field, but Busquets is much more like the short slap passes, which is probably a lot easier to close. But Rooney has got the energy to take on Pirlo. Pirlo's not the most energetic of players. He gets up and down occasionally, but it's all about his passing range. And Rooney is tireless. You know, if he's got another 90 minutes under his belt, he'll be tireless against Pirlo. The only problem is getting the balance between snubbing him out but also making himself available for the ball and using
it correctly, which is going to be very, very difficult. It could be as well if Prandelli goes with a back three and De Rossi as a libero again, it'll be De Rossi and Rooney having a little tussle.
Well, that's so true. Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly something to consider. I mean, if Italy, I mean, they used the flanks well against Spain when they were playing the wing backs.
Yes, they did.
But you'd imagine England,
in fact, they opened the game up against Spain in a way that very few teams have managed to do. They only got the draw, but they looked like it was
exceptional in that game.
But you can imagine that if England, if they do try and do that down the flanks, England are okay. I mean, they do kind of double up with the fullback and the flanker.
But you can't. I mean, Milner was exhausted again after like about 60 minutes.
Hodgson loves Milner, doesn't he? Yeah, I thought. Do you know what I thought? He may not start him against Ukraine because he looks tired, and he had to come off because he was tired. Now I know he had to come off for a tactical reason as well, but he was knackered.
But you got to remember, he obviously loves him. But he's not been starting for City as the season.
Absolutely.
Then he should be full of energy, Marcus.
And he's also plays a slightly different position for City when he plays.
I
think it's definitely a game against England. Italy will be a game that is decided right through the middle.
Yeah,
definitely through the middle, because generally speaking, it'll be a midfield battle in that sort of game. And Italy don't tend to, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but Italy don't tend to cross the ball very much.
No.
So they're not going to be attacking on the flanks, I don't think. And I don't think they'll play a three at the back. I think they'll play a four, as you said, because I think they've seen Yarmolenko get between the lines very well. And I think Pirlo and sort of people, midfield sort of players a little bit further forward could easily do that.
Well, will he try and get Motta in there or Montolivo?
Well, Thiago Motta's played behind the striker in the diamond formation, so he could probably do it as well. I don't know if Thiago was that decent, but it's decent enough.
Well, we shall see.
Time to start practicing penalties.
Yeah.
Well, they should have been doing that.
Thiago Motta is Brazilian, so he shouldn't be able to play anyway.
Yeah, there's a little caveat there. In Group D, though, we can't gloss over Sweden beating France.
Oh, 2-0. Hell no! Zlatan delivered for us,
didn't he? Yeah. Didn't he? What a goal! Favorite. What a goal!
Brilliant goal! Fresh off, they're already out.
It's such a shame.
It's on holiday.
It's such a shame Sweden haven't gone through, because Zlatan's been brilliant.
I think
in this tournament he's got his two goals, and what a goal it was, Pete!
It was just came into him and just full stretch, and he's a long man, isn't he? Very long man.
Good technique. Yeah. It's interesting how he makes it look so sort of like cultured to do that. Well, he's a similar build to sort of like Peter Crouch. He makes it just weird.
It was another sort of karate goal from Zlatan, wasn't it? He's using his honorary black belt again there to score goals.
I love it when he scored. He just went, "This is my holiday, bitches."
It's not really sort of.
I didn't say I was going to France on holiday. I said I was going to town on France on holiday.
He didn't necessarily need to take it like that. He probably could have taken it, standing upright as well.
It's interesting. I find it interesting that Sweden have beaten France for the first time in 40 odd years.
Yeah.
And France were unbeaten in 24 games. When the pressure was on France, they sort of knew what they had to do. They knew that to better England's up to win the group, which is the first time I'd argue they had a real pressure in this tournament. And they bottled it a little bit.
They did.
I thought they were poor.
Well, now they've given themselves an absolute mountain to climb.
Yeah. I think that they had chances, they had shots, a lot of them were long ranges. They had a little flurry later on when Giroud came on. But other than that, I mean, Sweden killed the game 2-0, obviously.
Well, I mean, you look at the England game, England and France both knew what England were going to do,
Yeah.
And we'd hope England would. And, and France has sort of said to themselves, right, we're going to have a lot of the ball, etc., etc. And France looked the more likely to win it if anybody was going to. But they never got through. Against Ukraine, they did pretty well. But like we said, there was a big air, certainly amongst the supporters. And I'm just reading a few quotes from some of the players that they perhaps had their mind on the next phase already. The weather, can have funny effects. I know it's the same for both teams, but you never know. And so they won that game. And as you say, they've come into the third game and they've really dropped a bollock, haven't they? Because I mean, that's a game they should have won.
And they're missing Meksès for the game against Spain, who'll be a big loss. Because I know that he's not a perfect footballer, but the thing about Meksès is he's an absolute athlete, and they're not going to have hardly any of the ball against Spain. And they'll need him.
Speaking of an absolute athlete, a tweet here from @SammyLeonardson says Meksès looks like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler.
Yeah, he does.
A little bit.
Like a younger version. Yeah. Like a younger, less beat up version. Yeah. I don't think Meksès will be happy with that comparison, but I can see where it's coming from.
Yeah.
But that means they'll have to draft in, probably have to draft in Koscielny. I'm sorry, Rami.
Which Koscielny would be fine, though, wouldn't he?
Well,
Koscielny's been solid the last end of the season. He's also a very, very mobile player and very fit. So, yeah, he'll be
serving his dodgy, you know.
He might have a glow in him.
Start of next season.
The only thing I will say is I agree that Koscielny's improved immensely and he is a good player, but he's very inexperienced at international level.
Yeah.
And he got a few caps.
And he's up against the toughest, you know,
he could be up against no strikers, which is very difficult for defenders to face. They don't know what they're doing. No one knows who's picking who up.
It is odd, though. It really is. But I think that's why Spain do it, don't they? And then suddenly everyone bombs on. They're like, oh my goodness, here they come.
And then when you think you've got it sussed, they'll bring Torres, be a striker or something. I think he might.
I think he will start with Torres.
Yeah. Torres. Llorente's got to be gutted that he hasn't touched.
Llorente's basically done something to annoy him.
Yeah.
Llorente's basically spent the flight on the way over there, sat next to him, fell asleep, dribbled on him, and took his armrest.
I reckon kicking the back of his seat.
Kicking the back of his seat all flight. Yeah.
He keeps deliberately mistaking him from Rene from Hello.
and that really cuts more because they're playing France. He doesn't want it to get out.
Spain did beat Croatia 1-0, and unfortunately the Croatians are out. Navas with a late winner, but Croatia
belted that in, didn't they?
Had a chance. 0-0, a good chance.
Yeah, free header.
It is extraordinary.
Was it Rakitic who had that chance?
I think it was,
I can't remember.
Rakitic header, and he
yeah, that's right.
But he knew, didn't he? You could see the look on his face. He was just like, oh, I haven't done that, have I?
That was the chance.
Bilic taking all his clothes off, pretty much.
Did
nice to see him wearing a vest underneath his shirt as well.
Really?
It's always important to do that when it's 30 degrees.
I would have put my tie around my head.
It's a shame that the Croatians never went through, because they've been pretty good.
I was interested in it. They have been, and I think that, as we touched on earlier, they didn't play too badly. Modric was decent, and I thought, and Navas, I love the way Navas smashed it in from the goal line. That was
And the manager has left the club, or rather
the national team, in
a better state than he found it. So
I think he's been good for them. Yeah. I think eventually he will come to England. He said he will, but he's off to Lokomotiv. Good luck to him. Mm. I was interested in his comments about Spain after the game. Did you see those? Where he said, okay, Spain won, they beat us, blah blah, but he said he wondered whether they had the hunger and the penetration
to
really do it at the highest level, which is interesting. It's something we touched on before the tournament started, the sort of possession versus penetration sort of debate, whether they can really penetrate against better teams, Spain, and whether they've got the hunger to do so. And it'll be a big test for Del Bosque if he can get the penetration through the defensive lines.
Personally, I think they will do. I mean, we've been out there, you know what the atmosphere is like. It's everything, the world, it revolves around it when you're out there. I don't see how you could possibly not have that hunger for it.
But you've already won it.
There's players in there that haven't won it, players that are playing in this first team now that haven't featured as much in the wins as well. They're all going to
want a slice of the Spain success pie.
What a pie it is, Pete. A very tasty pie, isn't it?
Mm.
Full of jelly beef.
Full of loads of different things. It's a tapas pie.
Full of pig fat, Ukrainian pig fat.
Salted lard.
Unrendered.
It's a delicacy out there. The Croatian FA have been fined £65,000 for their fans' racist behaviour. If you think that's a big fine, Nicholas Bentner fined £80,000 for having branded underwear.
Was it €100,000? Was it
€100,000?
Because impinging on some sort of advertising right by UEFA is far worse.
And he got a game banned, didn't he?
Yeah. He did get.
And that is the key point.
Yeah.
The key point is no point fining FAs and players, because you're not going to invoke a fine large enough to affect them. Ban them for football matches.
Free the Paddy Power one.
No, if the UEFA or FIFA or the FA, whoever it was, said, if your fans racially abuse a player anymore, and it's your fan guilty of doing so, you're out of the next qualification process.
Just suspended points fine. Why does that only happen to Russia? That should be happening to everyone that does that.
Well, that was for violence, not for racism.
Well, the same thing should apply. It should be a suspended points deduction. And if you do it again,
But they're finding them money because they think it's the everyone wins, because they know the victims, not, sorry, they know the guilty parties can afford to pay it, and they know they can't ban them for games or knock them out of qualification processes or tournaments because they can't afford to lose the money from them. So if you've got a big team like okay, Croatia aren't massive, but they're a bit, they're a decent player. If you ban Croatia, you'll lose all the revenue that comes from that.
But you're not banning them; you're just hindering them. So then the it's in the interest of the fans to stop doing this thing in the first place.
It's a sort of inertia sort of thing. If you get 3 points every time something like this happens, things have to change.
I mean, the Croatian FA being fined for their fans being racist is actually quite an abstract application for it. It doesn't affect the people that are guilty in the first place.
Well, I think
it has no effect on them at all.
Yeah, but it will do, because I think the Croatian FA then have to step up and make, you know, do the Croatian FA run anti-racist campaigns in Croatia? Do they do things like that? You know, the FA
and just don't allow them to get on the fucking flights.
Already, I think,
just
cut out that middleman.
Well, okay, but the FA in this country, you know, when we went to the airport, our passports were checked by policemen to make sure we weren't, you know, known for hooligans. I don't know how Luke slipped through the net, but he did.
A fake passport.
That's right. But you know, the FA have done a lot in this country, and our fans. I mean, there's still room for improvement, but they're a lot better. There's a number of reasons for that. But the FA have made a lot of effort to try and do that. Are other FAs doing that as much? You know, I don't know. I'm not saying we're better. I'm not saying that they're worse. But I'm saying, but I think that the points thing, I think it's maybe a touch harsh, because, you know, if England fans, if a group of moronic England fans kicked off, we'd say, well, that's not fair to dock the players 3 points, and that cost us a place in the next day.
It's a suspended deduction.
But that's irrelevant. The suspension part of it is saying that it's not as serious, and if you do it again, you will get that suspension, the penalty point.
I think that levels it up. It makes it less harsh.
But it needs joined up thinking. The joined up thinking needs to be that the FA, the players, the fans, are all connected together. So you need to have joined up thinking how you tackle it, which is basically like, as you guys have touched on, you need to I think England have done a decent job actually in stopping their hooliganism and making it a lot worse, right? But the point to make is, if you're going to fine or suspend or do these different things, it's not a joined up punishment. The joined up punishment should be to persuade the FAs, respective FAs, to stop the fans travelling. And if they can't do that, they need to hit them where it hurts the most. It doesn't hit them hard enough in the pocket because they can afford to pay it. And that is why it seems to me a UEFA are doing a get out of jail free sort of thing. The same with the Russian points thing, if you want to touch on that. As we know, it's increasing to 24 teams next season. Next tournament. So it'll be a lot easier for Russia to qualify anyway. They still would have qualified with the points deduction. So it's a massive red herring, the punishments they're dishing out. It's not good enough.
But I don't know if that's necessarily true, because what's true for Russia isn't necessarily true for Croatia or for other sides. I just think, you know, we touched on England and the way they dealt with hooliganism and racism, and it's an ongoing battle, but it's a battle that's been going for decades, and that isn't necessarily the case for a lot of these other teams. So I think they need to be brought up to speed in whatever way they can. I think you're right, the fines have to be higher if they're going to do fines at all, but I think the points deduction suspended, I think it's a good way to go forward.
It's just the arbitrary figures, that's the thing. They don't seem to have any rhyme or reason. There's no sort of chalkboard menu system on the wall saying, right, if you do this, we're going to we're going to take this amount of money. It's just like 4 grand here, €5,000 here. It's just the whole sort of, it's not really explained. And if I think we knew a little bit more about the the judicial process when it comes to racism and UEFA,
would it
of understand a
more transparency
more.
There's no one sat down and thought about what the message it sends out when they fine Bentner more for that.
But I think with something like that, the sort of contracts that they will draw up with their commercial partners will be more watertight and more thoughtful than what they're talking about with racism, because that's something to flare it up at the time. But if you're going to McDonald's and sort of saying, well, you're going to give us £50 million for the next 20 years or something to sponsor the UEFA Euros, they're going to have a real think about that. And this is, but racism's such a sort of weird thing where it springs up, it goes quiet for a couple of years, then some tit throws a banana on the field. You know, it's hard to draw up rules for that sort of thing. But there need to be rules. Somebody needs to do it, and it needs to be. Everybody needs to know precisely what is up for grabs if they do it.
Again, after this has happened before as well. They've given out tiny fines for racism and ridiculous fines for other things. So it's surely someone at UEFA has got to sit down and go, hang on, this is such a terrible message. This makes it look like we're not taking it seriously, even though we're constantly making noises to show that we are taking it seriously.
They do ask about faces, but they really worry about how much they care about it. They're not proving it.
The risk of sounding a bit controversial, do they perhaps not Are they not that bothered
talk
by it?
Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's not be silly here. You know, people. I don't know which nationalities are in make up the big wigs at UEFA. Obviously, we know Platini's French, but some countries, as you say, Jim, are not as far down this line with dealing with racism as
and
others.
Perhaps they don't see the damage it does.
Exactly.
If you understand that.
Well, if you're in a country where there are hardly any ethnic minorities. You know, the whole sort of racism issue might not even occur to you that much because it's just not...
You might see it as people being oversensitive.
Exactly.
Because you've had no experience, as I say, of the damage
but
it does.
The joy not thinking comes from... What I was trying to say earlier was, Marcus, it comes from what you touched on. If you find the FA, it doesn't affect anyone. It doesn't affect the players, doesn't affect the fans. There's therefore no motivation for either sets of people there to do anything about it. Mm. If you hit them with bans and say, right, that's it, you can't play in the qualification process for Euro 2016 now, then the players go, oh, that's a bit annoying because now I can't play on the international stage because of those fans. And all of a sudden, they're much more open to the idea of supporting a fight against racism.
That's right.
And the fans who are reasonable are going, well, we can't go and watch them now because of you lot. And they turn on them as well. And all of a sudden, you stamp them out in a linked up way by actually showing it's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And the motivation for not being racist is obviously different to that. The motivation for not being racist is to be a decent person. But the fact of the matter is, you need to hit people where it actually hurts. And there's so much money in football. It's not going to work. And the way it'll work is if you find the fans who are actually doing it, which obviously is
which is the hardest thing to do. Yeah,
and it's almost a form of racism that we sit here. We've not had a hooliganism problem for quite some time. We've not had as much racism as we have done in the past, in the 80s, in the 70s. And we can sit here and go, aren't we bloody brilliant? Those crazy Russians with their races. We'll still accept bloody Paolo Di Canio
in
the country because he's lovable and he's like, you know, we'll still accept a mouthy Uruguayan, you know, just ruining the national game. It's not. It's just another form of racism. Yeah. I was looking to the east and going, aren't they just so uncultured?
There was one person in Ukraine, actually.
God, I hate the Polish.
we're talking about the Suarez thing, which a guy we met in a bar in Ukraine, and he told me that that there wasn't much chance of seeing many Negritos out here, and it did have a nasty tone to it. He was from Birmingham. So.
There you are, you see. But I think we spoke about this on the podcast last time, that I think that the media in this country are turning the spotlight on potential racism that was in Ukraine and Poland with that panorama business and whatnot, which we spoke about.
That one, Stan Collymore's just not getting over.
And it is to highlight the fact of, do you really want to be like that? You know, so we did talk about that last time. So we're going to move on. We're going to go back to the football.
Football?
Yeah. Oh, something we didn't mention earlier was Balotelli's goal against Ireland.
Oh, yeah, beauty.
Absolute brilliant.
We mentioned the celebration, of course.
We did mention the
slow motion of it. He wasn't even looking at the ball.
Yeah.
He's looking the other way.
He wasn't looking at the goal, so.
No.
Knows where the goal is.
Yeah.
It's a sign of a good
An
forward.
An important asset for a forward. Do you know what a goal is? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. Yeah, you're in.
Do you know where to get one?
Yeah.
That was another odd performance, wasn't it, from Italy? They very much kind of sleptwalked through that game. They didn't.
I thought Ireland
encouraging
were okay,
for England.
Ireland were okay.
It was Ireland's best performance.
Yeah, of course.
It's one of the things that's heartening for England, like you said, because you know some of the best teams are shit sometimes, and they win. Yeah. But the difference is they win.
Yeah.
I was actually delighted for Cassano as well. After all the problems he's had, I know he's a bit of an idiot and he said some stupid stuff last week or so. But he is an idiot. We all know that. We've talked about it for years. But on the football level, he was left out in 2010, which I was sad about, and then he had the stroke, which is obviously tragic. And he's come back and he's got his goal, which I'm pleased for him on the football level, definitely.
But Ireland go home, of course. Mikey JJ says, which is the best team that didn't make the quarterfinals? Croatia? ? Denmark? Russia?
Denmark's got to be in with a shout. They were wonderful at times.
Denmark just undone by their sort of lack of defensive discipline, set pieces mainly. But Croatia... I mean, you put Croatia in any other group, you'd fancy them.
Yeah. No, I would go Croatia over Denmark. I think they would have been in the
Russia?
Danes. Russia just bottled it towards the end, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think they started very well, but their first game was the only sort of really decent performance.
I still couldn't believe watching that game against Greece.
Oh, no.
When Greece scored, you just thought,
what?
I thought, that's it. Yeah. And they're not going to get.
Have they swapped kits and not told me?
You could even put Croatia in Group B. And I think they had a good chance of beating Portugal, and Holland were dreadful. So, I mean, if you put Croatia in that instead of Denmark, I reckon they'd have had a decent chance as well.
Well, maybe in Brazil they'll explode.
What about Poland as well? Poland have got a decent team.
Croatia are stronger than the Poles.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
But in the quarterfinal lineup is Czech Republic versus Portugal in the first match. Portugal winners? would we see?
Yeah, I think so.
But we have lots of people underestimated the Czech Republic in their group, so
yeah, exactly.
Portugal have been brilliant.
I have been quite impressed with Portugal, which I said before. Yeah. I fancy the Portuguese.
Yeah, I think
it's more in the last match is Ronaldo's performance and how he took the game by the scruff of the neck.
If he can keep that up,
he's got more than enough quality to find space for himself against the Czech.
He's 27 now. He's coming to his peak. He's gonna he needs to make a splash in the international tournament. So people go, no, he didn't do it for Portugal. He'll be aware of that.
Hmm. Yeah, one day he'll be an old man.
No.
I genuinely wouldn't write off the Czechs. I think they've got a chance.
Oh, they are like the perennial dark horse, yeah. But I think it'll be tight. No, well, I don't know.
We don't know. Move on to the next one.
To be honest, I just don't think they've got enough to stop the firepower that Portugal have.
Hmm. Postiga.
And Postiga.
Scored against Denmark.
Yeah.
Germany v Greece. Big game, Germany and Greece at the opposite ends of the financial spectrum in Europe.
They should basically say, if Greece win that game, they get to stay in the Euro.
Yeah.
Do they want to stay in the Euro? No, I'm not really sure.
You get to swap countries.
Nobody wants to stay in the
Everybody
Euro.
Has to move.
At least four countries are leaving the Euro.
I think Germany should have more than enough to see them off, actually.
Yeah?
Mm. Just vote for them, austerity measures.
Same way the Russians did?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'll counter that by saying Germany are much better than Russians.
Greece are going to try and grind it out, though, aren't they? That probably won't be. Again, this might not be the game where we see the German flair we're all expecting, because I don't know if Greece will allow that. But
imagine. I'll tell you what, you said about the typical England thing will be Balotelli will get sent off and we'll still lose. Mm. I bet you Greece knocked Germany out and we still don't go through against them.
yeah, we'll be like that. Yes! Yeah. Greece swarm, though. I just can't say. Germany's just a little bit more organised for me. There's just no way that Germany will go through.
Yeah, of course they will.
Germany haven't really got out of the second or third gear.
And they've got
9 points, yeah. And I know that's impressive. But,
9 points, Marcus.
You saying you fancy Greece?
There's a little wry smile on my face. That's all I'm saying.
Devil's advocate.
Spain, France. Tasty.
That should be a real highlight, because I can't imagine France parking Le Bus. So that's going to be a thrilling one, I think.
I think it will be a thrilling one, purely because France will have a rocket out their arse after that Sweden.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll be bang up for it. And
I think France would absolutely fly into Spain to try and
unsettle them.
Yeah.
Mm. Ribery.
I think Mexis,
Nazri, Benzema, they need big performances.
Mexis missing his key because he's so athletic for them.
Yeah, it is. I don't see the lack of hunger with Spain being a problem, personally. I think that the coach will, if he indeed needs to, drum it into them, say, if we win this tournament, we'll probably go in the history books as the best team of all time.
Mm.
Yeah. Now let's get a bit of that.
Yeah.
Well, no one's ever done three, have they?
So. No, that's right. That's it. Is it? El Maca, Stephen Bannerman said that before the tournament.
It's becoming sort of vaguely familiar as well. These stats that come out. You could argue Iniesta's been certainly one of the best players of the tournament. I saw a stat today that says Xavi's had the most touches of any player. It's just typical.
It's just normal, isn't it?
Yeah, and they make it such a habit, this sort of football and the way they play. And then, like I said to you earlier, they apparently weren't that great against Croatia, but had 72% of the ball.
We're almost fatigued.
Yeah.
At the very base level, France have got to go and get the ball. They've got to go and get it. And that might be pulling themselves out of shape by trying to go and get the ball, knowing it's a knockout game, means they'll probably get undone.
Here's a stat I saw earlier on Opta Joe's Twitter feed. Two teams have not caught anybody offside in the group stages. Greece and England.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting,
isn't it, Jeff?
But only because that
John Terry should have done, but that still would have been one.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Which shows you just how deep the defence lies, you know. And obviously, we know all about the Greeks, so. Mm. There you go. Getting behind than Germany and Italy is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And of course, England, Italy, we talked about. Come on, let's have a prediction. Who do you think, Jim? Big breath.
Semi-final.
I think it'll be tight, but I think Italy will take it.
Mm.
I think it will be a glorious defeat, as England haven't done for a while, but do so well.
I kind of look forward to that, actually.
Still,
I've
missed it.
Glorious defeat.
Still no nil-nils. England Italy will be a nil-nil. Standard. I thought I said that about England Sweden, but he ended up with five goals.
The five penalties will be nil-nil at the end as well.
Yeah.
I'd go for a 1-1, then extra time. Maybe England to inch it a little bit on fitness, possibly.
Big Andy Carroll to nod the winner.
I actually think, and I'm putting the jinx on this, that Italy will easily win. No, I'm joking. I think as I said before, that is a pick 'em game. Against Croatia or Italy, it's a 50-50 game. You'll get beaten by Spain, no problem, but against Italy they've got a decent chance. However, you know, it looks like they'll face Germany in the semis anyway. So
it's a really interesting tie, because we haven't faced Italy much in actual competitions. I think Euro 80 was the last time we played them after tournament.
1990, but it was a third place
player. And we played them at the famous game in qualification in Rome, during the nil. That's the last time I can remember them playing.
Well, not at a tournament though, I know what you're saying.
We don't really have that sort of history against them that we tend to against teams.
But it's funny how countries have that. Countries seem to play the same countries a lot of the time. You know, it was the one with the 0-2 when in the World Cup, when Brazil versus Germany was the first time they'd met.
Which seems so weird.
Most successful nations.
The England Italy thing, just to go back to it for a second, they need Gerard and Parker needs to do exactly what they did against France. Hold that line, and as you mentioned, Marcus, at the time, know when to step out of line and nick the ball. If they do that and use it properly, they've got every chance, because Italy have got game winning players, but they're not brilliant.
I mean, I don't want to completely write Italy off, to England off there, because I think this is as winnable as any game against one of the sort of major previous, you know, World Cup or, you know, trophy
winning
teams is going to be.
England wouldn't have won a knockout game in normal time since Belgium 90. Since Belgium 90, right? Oh, Cameroon 90 in the quarterfinal. Since then, they've not won a knockout game, have they? In normal time. Oh, Denmark.
Right.
So their record isn't
bad. No, Ecuador 06.
Bloody hell. They win every knockout game. It's easy. No, but against what I mean is against a top team, like a traditionally top team.
Yeah, a team that's won a trophy before, I think is the way you would judge that.
Yeah, so it would be Denmark.
That's the thing about the World Cup. That's a great example of the difference between the World Cup and the Euros. Yeah, 2002, Denmark in the second round. 2006, Ecuador in the second round. First knockout game in the Euros, Italy.
But for me, though, England are the most organised I've seen a slightly dull England side in a long time.
Very true.
So it's just an organised, dull side.
But they didn't know that organised against Ukraine, that's the problem.
Yeah.
When Ukraine, they knew that to win.
But against France, I just think sometimes, like, we raise our game a little bit. We raise our game against Spain in the friendly, you know.
I mean, you know, is there an argument there that Rooney coming back, everyone would have been almost waiting for that to happen, and he does come back, and everyone's, what's he going to be like, and all the rest of it? It was a bit disappointing, and from there you think, right, okay, that's more the shape and the side, and let's take that, you know, and move on.
It was all about the battle for fitness in that Ukraine game. What I would have said at half time to Wayne Rooney is just run around, drag people all over the place, don't worry about getting the ball so much. We'll deal, you know, this is just all about you getting fit, and it's all about creating space for other players, because he wasn't match fit, he didn't deserve the ball the way that he was playing, and it was just I would have just had him just running left, running right, and just moving defenders around and just jumbling up a bit. And if he's still in that sort of position, if he's still in that sort of condition come Italy, I think that's what, and if we definitely have to play Wayne Rooney, let them concentrate on Wayne Rooney and make him run and up and down the line.
The Rooney question is that Hodgson seems to have developed, touchwood so far, a very good team spirit among the camp, because he's treating everyone equally. So he's saying, Ashley Young, you're playing, but you've got to do this role. And if Ashley Young's got a bit of an ego in him, it's tough. He's saying to Gerrard, you've got to be disciplined. He needs to apply that same rule to Rooney. If you've got an hour gone in the English League game and Rooney's still massively off the pitch, you've got to take him off.
That's right.
Because they've done well enough without him.
The trouble is with England, I mean, Ashley Young's not really done it at the tournament so far. You know, who do England play in that position behind, we presume, Danny Welbeck? Would you then bring on Jordan Henderson, slot him by Parker, and put Gerrard in that kind
of... You flick Andy Carroll and put Paul Welbeck back.
Okay.
It's what you've got to do.
There's options there, though, and there are options that have worked for us so far. And can we take a moment to appreciate as well that England was so, you know, there was no expectation on it, as everyone said time and time again, but you know, people were saying we wouldn't get through the group. We did get through the group.
Brilliant.
7 points. It is brilliant.
Textbook England.
Well done, England.
It's just great. It's just it's so enjoyable.
Can you hear me, Harry Redknapp?
Well,
sat around your pants eating Watsits in front of Sky Sports News. No job.
Probably signing on.
I'm
sure he's entitled to it.
Last tweet from Joe Stevenson. He says, if Italy were to knock England out, how would you rate the England's tournament as a whole?
I think the quarterfinal is the realistic par for what, given that what they had going into the tournament and the management change around and the personnel and that sort of stuff. I think quarterfinal is par. I mean, England are ranked probably well too high for what is realistic in the FIFA rankings. Top 8 in Europe, and that's okay for now.
You've
got to look at it longer term. And
which Hodgson said before the tournament.
And the other thing is, it's so sort of, you look, think of it long term, it's a little bit soldier strong, because there's no way England would win a World Cup in Brazil. That's ridiculous. Brazil, we've got to be such short favourites for that at home. And you look at some of the other South American teams. So realistically, 2016 is a chance I've got, any chance I've got to make a real impression on the tournament, in my view.
Mm.
So you've got to play the ultra long game, which is traditionally we're not that good at doing in this country. But I think quarterfinal's okay, isn't it?
A good performance in an Italy match, I wouldn't have a problem with that in the slightest.
No, same, like
you know, an attacking performance, I think.
But it gets you wondering, you can't help but think, because if England do get through against Italy, and you play Germany in the semi, you think, well, that's all right. It's completely different, because we're not going to be, we're so up for it, we can do it. We're going to be like, well, we're happy with how far we've
gone. I don't know.
We're just here for the sing-song.
Yeah,
you know?
If it did come to that, though, you would be like, oh, come on, boys, come on. Oh, this is our one chance.
This
to
time
get
next week,
final.
I'll be completely different. Don't worry about
it. Wait, don't be silly.
Greece in the final. Greece in the final.
Easy Greece Spain final for me.
Yeah.
Easy.
And another Greek win. Yeah. I'm backing them.
Yeah. Marvellous. Well, that's it for this time. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And the very active website, thefootballramble.com, has got lots of things happening.
Yes, it has. We're back after the quarterfinals, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah, yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
See ya.
Bye.
And isn't money yet? Go on.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
No, I'm not saying anything.
Goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
See you later, gang.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.